It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Man. Me and Westbrook just talking about how little Bri is becoming a big football guy.
That's right.
2 years old.
2 years old.
When my kid is 2 years old, he's going to be yelling at everybody.
Is he? What do you think he's going to be saying?
Oh.
Bossing him around? Telling him what to do?
Are you kidding? I have no idea. I think I'm having a girl first. Now, my fiance is not pregnant.
Right, okay.
And we're not having a kid soon.
Oh,
but
really?
I have always thought I'm starting with a girl.
I'll tell you this. My oldest is a girl.
Yeah.
And girls are so different than boys, but girls are perfect for the older child because now she's 6, my son is 2.
Yeah.
Now I can talk to her like, yo, what's the deal with your brother? Like, he's out of, I know, Dad, he's totally out of control. And I'm like, yeah, he is. I can talk to her like she's an adult right now.
Yeah.
It's
the best. Oh, man. What I meant is like your kids just take on what you do. You're saying your son plays a lot of football now.
Honestly.
I feel like my son's just going to walk up to people and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And their announcer voice. That would be a perfect.
If my kid was like, hey, Dad, I'd be like, oh,
Dad,
crap.
Dad, what's up, man?
The demons are inside my child. I asked David before we start, we need to settle. This is what you do in the beginning of a meeting. You let the accountant, a.k.a. the treasurer, a.k.a. the comptroller, don't even think that's the right word, establish the bets. We made some bets last week.
We did.
Do you remember any of them?
Because I did not. Remember none of them.
Neither did I.
Absolutely.
So one of the bets we made was that you said the Cowboys were going to beat the Patriots.
Oh, my goodness.
So you owe me a money.
That's disappointing that they lost. I'm really disappointed.
This was after your Patriots are the worst team ever. And the
Patriots
Cowboys
didn't show me that much. The Cowboys showed me even less. Mm. But I'm disappointed about the loss.
Two other bets we made that we cannot cash out. You bet me also.
Conveniently enough.
You bet me also that the Texans will beat the Patriots, and that is who the Patriots play on Sunday, next week.
That's a good bet. Still a good bet.
I don't know, man.
Still a great bet, actually.
You could be down another money. That game is in Houston.
Still a great bet. I feel comfortable about that.
I will say that Will Fuller against that Patriots defense could create some issues.
Well, they got a couple guys that can catch the football. And the Patriots have a couple guys on the back end that can defend.
So that'd be good. And the other one was that... Oh, and the other one is that... I bet that the Texans wouldn't make the playoffs, and that took a hit after... I know who that
there
is.
There he is.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, what's up, Lefko? It's Pat here. Sorry, it's a little loud. I'm at the construction site here in Medford, where we're building a 1/3 size replica of Gillette Stadium that we're calling Nikhil Harry's Razors Stadium. Get it? Hashtag sponsored content. Hold on, let me go somewhere quiet. Ah, that's much better.
That was great.
You can't use my office for personal calls, man.
Shut up, Trevor. I'm on the phone. Look, people are concerned that we're averaging just 13 points a game in November. But let me ask you this, genius. If this was the Red Sox scoring 13 friggin' runs a game, would you be concerned? I didn't think so. And I just did air quotes on the word concern, by the way. But unfortunately, I can't bend my fingers on account of I've got 6 replica Super Bowl rings that I bought at Dick's Sporting Goods spread around both my index and middle fingers, dude. I could have gone pro, but college recruitment is far too political. So the Patriots at 10-1, and the only team on planet Earth that could possibly dethrone them at this point is the one led by my stepbrother, Jimmy Garoppolo, who is texting me right now to ask for hair care tips. I don't have any. Gotta go. And remember, it's not Blake Jow loss, it's Blake Jow win. But a win for the Patriots. You get the idea. Shut up. Pat out.
Pat. Very happy that Trevor made a comeback. Please don't use my office for personal calls. Pat, man.
Patriots fans are always throwing those rings around a little bit.
I mean, why shouldn't they?
I guess you should, but...
Yes, that's why you
have
them.
One.
Like I said, if I had 6 abs, you'd see them all the
time.
I wouldn't wear a shirt. Yeah, I would blow my nose in my shirt and I'd be like, God, I'm sweating under my eyes. Look at my abs. Yes, if I had 6, do you know how obnoxious football players are with rings? That's all they do. Anytime I see a football player go on TV for the first time, they're like, oh, I'm sorry that my ring is blinding you.
Does Tom Brady wear his rings like that?
Tom Brady is not your... All I do think about Tom Brady is with his rings jumping around like that.
Yeah.
Yes, if I had some Super Bowl rings, I would flaunt it ridiculous amounts.
No way.
Listen.
I don't know that to be true. I think you would be like, I'll wear one ring and maybe.
I would not be one of those pros. It's like, oh, I don't even know where it is.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know how big those rings are?
That would be my going out Friday night rings.
They're out of control. They're too big. They're gaudy. Nobody wants them.
Get out of here.
Nobody wants
them. That was a really good justification.
Yeah.
But one thing Pat said, and again, I didn't know Pat was going to talk about any of that, is Patriots Niners.
Yes.
I believe that right now we're really at a foursome, maybe at a fivesome, of teams that I think can go to the NFL Super Bowl.
Okay.
In Miami. Patriots.
Yes.
Niners.
Yes.
Ravens.
Uh-huh.
Saints. I believe that the Packers can be scary, but that did not look good.
No.
The Seahawks, because of Russell Wilson, can be in every game. And I believe that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes can be in any. Those are like, if you had to make me say seven, that's my seven. But I really don't think that anyone's messing with Baltimore, New England, the Saints, or the Niners if you have to go to their place.
Well, you named four teams that have very good defenses. You obviously saw
and really
the 49ers
good running game.
In the run game. So playing defense, stopping the run, and running the football in November, December, I mentioned it last week, is critical to being able to get to the Super Bowl. But I also believe that Kansas City can get hot.
Yeah.
And offensively, when you can get hot at the right time, that certainly is a problem for defense.
I just think that the four teams that I said, so this is how I look at it too. Storyline-wise, there's a lot. Actually, man, I got to save some of this. The main thing that I would say, though, is if you have to go to New Orleans, good fucking luck.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's tough.
It's hard to win there. That stadium is tough.
You go to Foxborough, good luck.
Yep.
If the Patriots have to go to Baltimore, or if Kansas City has to go to Baltimore, I think Baltimore's got a huge edge over Kansas City. And I think with New England, it's a coin flip. And that's really the best you can get when you're playing New England.
What makes you say that, though?
Because Belichick in the championship game, for me, just feels...
So the second time they play Baltimore.
Yeah, and he's gonna have a little bit more game film on Lamar. I wouldn't feel that confident either way. That feels like 50-50.
Right.
And
I feel more confident in the Ravens' defense stopping the Patriots from scoring 10 points.
We're saying this in Monday Night Football's Ravens, right. And they let up 40 points.
That's right. Yes, exactly. But I just feel more confident with that defense, with their ability to get after Brady. Especially even what we saw yesterday. We didn't see a great showing from that offense.
Let's get to Bengal Tank, because a lot of this is in Bengal Tank. I'm just excited to talk football with
you. Seattle, too. What about Seattle?
I think with Russell, they can shock the world.
Yes.
I just think that yesterday in that win over the Eagles.
They looked bad yesterday.
They looked like we saw what DK Metcalf could be if he doesn't catch the ball.
Dropped two big passes.
And also, like, the Eagles offense couldn't take advantage of it. It was so bad. But...
Well, they would have scored another at least 14 points if Metcalf catches the ball in the end zone.
Yes.
And for some reason, I don't know how this even
Russell
happened.
Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes can ruin the playoffs for anybody.
Yes.
They alone.
Well, he overthrew a guy that was wide open in the end zone. Yeah, it was kind of like, whatever.
All right, let's get to Bengal Tank.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Bengal Tank. Today's very special Thanksgiving episode of Bengal Tank is brought to you by The Possible Burger. It's just a burger, and it's fine. First into the tank, Lefko's offering an investment in a potential Super Bowl matchup that might just make one of his more boisterous listeners so happy that he finally gets the energy to finish his zombie screenplay, The Departed 2, Undead DiCaprio versus Wahlberg. Yes, that is the actual title, and no, he will not budge on that point.
All right, so we were talking about Super Bowl matchups. I believe I have the one that is the most entertaining when the game is played.
Okay.
I believe there are others that have great storylines, a few of which feel like destiny. But I believe there is one Super Bowl matchup that will be the most entertaining. You can ask me three questions, Mr. Venture Capitalist Brian Westbrook.
So I need to tell you what the matchup is.
No, you have to kind of guess what I'm going for, which I believe will be the most entertaining Super Bowl matchup.
Okay. From the AFC side of things.
Okay, this is question number one.
Does this team have a good defense?
Yes.
So they have a good defense.
Question number two.
Okay. From the NFC side of things. Because I think I have an idea which way you want to go with that. How good is the quarterback for this team?
I would say he's in the top 15. He's between 8 and 15.
8 and 15, okay.
I'd say he's between 8 and 18.
8 and 18, okay. All right.
Question number 3.
Last one. I should get 4 just so we can do 2 for NFC and 2 for AFC, just so you know.
Fine, make question 3 a two-parter.
All right, question 3 for both.
Part A.
Part A. All right. So I'm thinking about this team here. Got that one. And I got that one. AFC question.
Okay. 3A.
How good is the running side of their offense?
Really strong.
Very strong.
Very.
Okay. And
part B of the third question.
Same thing for the NFC.
Strong.
Strong. Okay. So I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Are we at the guess portion? I'm going to go the 49ers and the Ravens.
And do you buy that as the most exciting Super Bowl matchup?
The most exciting. Yeah, we don't want to see the Patriots. I think Patrick Mahomes would be fun, but they don't have a good defense. Yeah, I would go there.
You are correct. That is my favorite matchup. What does he win? A new pencil. I'll have that to you from Rose. I believe that Niners, Ravens.
Yes.
Would be the most fun Super Bowl Sunday since Patriots Eagles, and then before that, that I could, because Patriots Eagles was 41.
It was an exciting game.
But that would be the Kyle Shanahan offense against the Ravens with Jimmy G and that running offense against the Ravens. Kyle Shanahan against the Ravens and then Lamar Jackson against that defense, I believe right now would be the best X's and O's Super Bowl. Also, it is a Super Bowl rematch of the last time Colin Kaepernick was in the Super Bowl.
That's right. So you've got
Lamar Jackson out there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in Miami, and Lamar Jackson is from Miami. So that's going to be really wild. Huh? Kyle Shanahan coming back against, like, oh, man, Shanahan and Harbaugh might be the two best coaches in the NFL right now. Great matchup. But I do not think it has the best storylines. I think the best storylines is what Pat was alluding to.
Who's that?
Tom Brady against the team he grew up rooting for in the 49ers.
No way.
Tom Brady versus Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo versus Bill Belichick, who knows all of his weaknesses. It is also Kyle Shanahan trying to get revenge against the Patriots for 28-3. That it is Belichick versus Shanahan, which is the best coaching matchup in the NFL. I believe that if that is Tom Brady's last Super Bowl and he goes out against the team he grew up rooting for, that, I believe, is the best storyline Super Bowl.
Nobody cares about who he rooted for when he was a child growing up.
You know that we're going to see, I don't know who the announcer is. It's going to be like Tom Brady taking the field, and who can look at this photo? 4-year-old Tom Brady wearing a San Francisco Joe Montana jersey.
Yeah,
he said it was his dream to play for the Niners, and now, remember, he did not win Super Bowl 50. He didn't make it there in San Francisco. That was Carolina Denver, but I think that's the best storyline.
The best storyline is the most exciting player in the NFL, Lamar Jackson, versus one of the best, most aggressive defensive fronts in the NFL. That's the best storyline.
Yeah. That's the best X's and O's, but I mean like the gymnasts.
Yeah.
Like,
but do we really care? You have already seen all the storylines that Tom Brady could possibly have in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if.
And I've already told you they're not making a Super Bowl.
But this could have the seven. I might retire because I've already sold my New England house and going out against Bill Walsh and the mystique of the San Francisco 49ers.
They can do an interview with Joe Montana.
And then he retires. Like, this could be the Brady retirement Super Bowl.
So that means
and
you have
what
the winning.
Is seven, Brian Westbrook? It is the number of completion. Not to bring it back to the Bible, but it is. So I'm just saying.
Now let's stay there because a month ago you gave me this whole essay about the Saints.
Perfect. That is my second best storyline matchup. Sean Payton and the Saints taking on the New England Patriots.
Uh-huh.
Sean Payton, beleaguered. We've already gone into how they were screwed so many times.
Last year,
they even tried to screw him this weekend
with the
Carolina Panthers using his own rule against him, prompting Sean Payton to go.
Not happening.
shaking his head vigorously. Drew Brees coming back, leading it, and possibly going in Miami, the place where Drew Brees could have signed as a free agent, but they didn't clear his medical, and he could be with Nick Saban right now in the Dolphins, but instead they chose Dante Culpepper, making Drew Brees go to New Orleans and completing his year, and then he retires in Miami because all old white people retire in Miami.
That is true. Keep your microphone to yourself.
Sorry.
That is true.
And that is why that is the second best storyline.
Based upon your reaction, that's
Belichick.
The first best one.
No. No.
You want to hear this story? You want to hear the Brady, stories about Tom Brady and his youth?
No, it's because the Super Bowl is not about people like us. We watch the NFL all year round.
Right.
The Super Bowl is for the other people that don't watch, that go into the next day and go, Tom Brady, he's always there. That's who the Super Bowl is for.
Do you think that San Francisco, New England Super Bowl would have more meaning to Tom Brady, you think?
Then they all matter a lot. But it's because Tom Brady, San Francisco, or Tom Brady, Saints. I think it would also because I think that's a really, really tough matchup. And I think San Francisco, what's really interesting is San Francisco, this is dangerous. A chill went up my spine. You have to be honest.
I tried to be honest with you last week. Be honest now.
Wow. No. I just saw something. Lefko Damas.
Go. Say it.
Not only are the Niners the perfect matchup for Brady and Belichick and this team.
Oh my goodness. You're
they are built to be the ultimate Patriots, not just stopper, but Patriots pounder.
That's true.
The only way that you beat Tom Brady is that you can generate pass rush with your front four. What better front four than this foursome for the San Francisco 49ers?
That's true.
Kyle Shanahan, including that Super Bowl where you could talk about how he lost 28-3, was up 28-3 and hung in the 30s, is averaging about 34 points in the 30s against Belichick for his career and will never let up. They have an offense you can't game plan for because it's Kittle, it's Mostert, it's Breida, it's Jeff Wilson Jr., it's Debo Samuel, it's Tevin Coleman. You can't game plan for
it. Sanders, forgot about him.
And it's the Richard Sherman revenge against Tom Brady, the dude that he ran up on and yelled in his face. I think that if the Niners played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I can't believe I'm saying this. Not only are they going to win, they're going to win by double digits.
The Niners.
That if the Niners play the Patriots in Miami, they will win that game by more than a touchdown. More than 10.
What? How do you say that?
I don't know why it's coming out of me, but it's burning like lava.
I don't know why it's coming out of you right now, because last Niners week you warned me.
I know, but I'm saying the Patriots can get to the Super Bowl. You said they wouldn't get out of the AFC. I'm saying they're going to get there. And if it's the Niners, they're going to lose by double digits. Fuck, I don't want to say that.
The Niners have that type of defense.
They have everything. Oh,
that can be scary to any team, period.
Yes.
Because they can rush for. And the key to beating the Patriots, like the Giants did years ago, like the Eagles did a couple years ago, is getting pressure with four.
That's what I'm saying.
And be able to cover with seven.
That's what I'm saying.
And Tom Brady, that defense is playing on a different level.
Oh, crap.
Robert Saleh. Their defensive coordinator?
People are making way too much out of the fact that he gets excited after games.
Well, I like he, no, no, I love that. I think that's pretty cool, but because that energizes the players. But that style of defense is awesome.
I never know how to credit defensive coordinators that have a lot of talent. Like, I look at Greg Williams at the Jets right now and what he's doing, having the number one run defense in the NFL,
they look good. Yes,
and they don't really have that much talent, and they've had a ton of injuries. That's incredible. But, like, the Niners' D-line, and, I mean, it is
they got a bunch
it's
of
pretty
first
amazing
round
how
picks.
They've developed.
They got a bunch it of first-round picks. I think Fred Warner certainly should be a pro bowler.
He's
because
been
he's been playing great.
I can't believe I said that.
Secondary has been aggressive. But they take the shape of the defensive coordinator.
I'm going to say this one last thing. Whoever gets home field advantage in the NFC is who I believe is coming out of the NFC. Because I believe that every other team is screwed. If Drew Brees has to go to San Francisco, I think it's going to be an amazing matchup. But I still think that Drew Brees outside is a little bit of a different animal. The fact that the Niners are going to New Orleans in 2 weeks to get a taste of the Superdome in the regular season even if they lose, I think that's enormous. That's what happened with the Rams last year. The Rams went to New Orleans, got the brakes beat off of them, and then went back in the playoffs and won. Because Jimmy needs to get a taste of the Superdome before it's playoff time, because it will shock you. And if either team has to go to Green Bay, which I don't think they're going to have to do now, I think that would have been troubling. But
I don't know. That defense seems like it, you can go on the road and win.
I can't believe you let me say that.
I tried to stop you several times. I said, stop, pump your brakes, don't go there.
But you did it last week.
I know, because you are seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. That's why I told you not to go there. But now you're in the same boat with me.
They got Kittle playing with a broken ankle.
Ooh.
Dicing up people.
The best tight end in the league, obviously. But it's much more to his game.
I hope, by the way, that I hope that everybody's saying all this to Kittle. Because I am friends with Kittle, and I'm friends with Kelsey. And I really hope that Kelsey's getting pissed. Because I will say this. George Kittle is phenomenal.
Yes.
Phenomenal. But he is nowhere near the receiver of Kelsey. And I am hoping that this motivates Kelsey, because there's something about tight ends. When you say that one is a better blocker, it's like saying they're more of a man. It's like saying they're a winner.
Right.
And he is.
Yes.
I have stood next to both. Both of them are huge. But Kelsey is a much larger man. And so I'm hoping, I'm not saying he's better. I would take Kittle right now, and I would say, Kelsey, man, you guys are fucking incredible. But right now, I take Kittle a little bit more. But I'm hoping that it pisses Kelsey off.
Kittle is more physical after he gets the ball. Kelsey is physical, too, and he seems like Kelsey.
But Kelsey also has a 50-50 advantage.
Absolutely.
If you lob it up, I trust Kelsey more than Kittle.
Yes. Yep.
I also think that Kelsey can be used a little bit more in the running game, if that makes sense. I think he's better at the shovel passes and stuff than Kittle is.
Well, they do
but
that a lot
I believe
more.
That I agree that Kittle is more dangerous with the ball in his hands.
I think Kittle's a tad bit faster.
And I think he's a much better run blocker. Much
better run blocker. I don't know if he's
better. And
those
are the things that matter.
I think you put Kelsey in space, it's just hard to defend that. Because he's that special. But Kittle, he's been powerful. He runs guys over in the secondary, stiff arms them. Hey, listen, you're this is small amount. I think Kittle's a little bit better.
All right. I hope nobody clips out that Patriots thing and puts it on the internet.
Yeah, because it's going to be bad luck for you, brother.
I don't care anymore.
All bad.
All right, let's go right back to the Bengal tank.
That's one goodbye for me.
Next up into the tank, Lefko believes one player not currently on a playoff team will single-handedly change the entire playoff picture. A few hints. He plays for a team based in North America. He prefers cleats to flip-flops when playing football, and he has both a first and last name.
That's a great hint. Some of the worst hints I've ever heard before in my life, actually. Like, literally, I'm no closer to guessing this than I was before those three hints.
All right, Westbrook, venture capitalist,
first
Westbrook,
and last
you
name.
You get three questions for clarity.
So you don't give anything. You offered nothing.
I will say that this guy, what he has done in the second halves of seasons is not going talked about enough.
He's a defensive player.
I have not. Is that one of your three questions?
No, I'm
all
right, some clarity.
You're not getting
some
these
clarity?
No, that's a
I
question.
Can't get a little bit of clarity?
I'm just going to say that this is a guy that.
Is he in the AFC North?
Are these real questions?
No, these are just kind of talking out loud.
All right.
Because normally you don't have the discipline not to give me a little
bit. I am going a little bit off of Evan Silva on this one. He started talking about it. Ingber said, isn't this guy incredible? And I said, yes. I will give you a few hints
was
off
he traded?
The bat. He is in the AFC.
He was traded during the season.
He is on offense. I will now give you three questions because that is more than enough.
Okay, he's on offense. He's not on a playoff team right now.
No, but in the next 5 weeks, he is playing three teams in the AFC that are in the playoff hunt. I do not believe his team actually is, and one team in the NFC playoff hunt. And I believe that he is performing at such a high level, it could really mess a few of them up. So why don't you ask
me? Is he a running back?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Okay.
Do you know it?
I don't know it, but I have a feeling.
All right.
My spidey senses.
Another question.
Is he in the AFC South?
Yeah, just say his name now.
Well, I mean, I can't get my questions out
80
now.
80 hints. Yeah, now I'm angry.
What do you mean? Your hints suck, first of all.
They were great hints.
That was some of the worst hints either. So they're in the AFC South. He's a running back. Is he taller than 6'2"?
Yeah, just say his name.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, do you agree?
Why are you so upset at my success?
This game is really fun when I win.
I know. Every now and then I have to win too.
No, the name of this game is I Win. Evan Silva has been a little bit of a terror lately. And it's funny because it's one of those things where you go, wow, every year, Derrick Henry maybe doesn't play great in the first 8 weeks. And then every time I'm watching Red Zone at the end of the year, it's Derrick Henry 80-yard touchdown, Derrick Henry 70-yard touchdown.
Easily explained.
So here are some stats that Silva has. Follow him on Twitter, at Evan Silva. He's the man. He one time compared me to Joe Rogan, so he's in my heart forever. Career touchdowns in September and October for Derrick Henry, 10. Career touchdowns in November and December, 24.
Yeah.
That's 2.4x. Yeah. That's wild. Also, this is from Rich Rebar, who writes for Warren Sharp's website. Derrick Henry's last 16 games played, 1,600 rushing yards for 5.3 yards a carry, 18 rushing touchdowns, 19 catches, 209 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the schedule of the teams they play, this could be really interesting. They play at Indianapolis in a dome. That Colts defense has been a lot better ever since they got crazy Darius Leonard back.
That's right.
Oakland, the Texans twice, and versus the Saints at home. There's something about the Saints, if they're still fighting for a one seed, having to go to Tennessee and Derrick Henry just beating them up for an afternoon. Even if it's not a win, just getting pounded by Derrick Henry.
Yep.
But the fact that the Texans have to play him twice, and I went back and looked, and the Texans have had success against Derrick Henry.
They've
also lost some unspeakable games to the Titans. But if the Texans have to face Derrick Henry, and we saw Whitney Mercilus getting beat up on Thursday, and they already don't have J.J. Watt. Now, D.J. Reader's been great. I just think Derrick Henry can be one of those guys, and quietly, the last two games, the Titans have put up 77 points against the Chiefs and the Jaguars. I think Derrick Henry could be one of these AFC player of the weeks a few times and really mess up the playoffs for a few teams.
2 points. The Texans without J.J. Watt have given up over an average of 169 yards per game.
Nice.
That's without him. Now, with him, obviously, they were low. They were giving up 85 yards a game.
Sure.
So he makes a big difference. But the biggest point, and why I say that it's predictable that Derrick Henry has had so much success the latter part of the season is his size. I met the kid when he was in high school. He came down to the Maxwell Awards.
One of the biggest humans I've ever seen.
6'3", 250 at the time. I saw him maybe last year. He was 6'4", 250. Huge. At this point in the season, the teams that are getting ready for a playoff push, especially if you got 9-10 wins, now you start making decisions like, okay, what I can't do is get hurt now. What I can't do is afford to say, you know what, I got a nagging injury going into the playoffs. So now I'm making business decisions. And the one thing I don't want to do at the end of the year when it's cold, when I'm already being dinged up just a little bit, it's tackle 6'4", 250. I don't want that trouble. And what you saw yesterday
it's trouble
in that game was guys just saying, you know what, I'm not getting in the way. I'm going to run just slow enough that I could try to get him with an arm tackle and not tackle him. Just make sure that I look good on tape.
Mm.
We saw that game after game, and they replayed what he did last year against, who was it he did last year?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville again.
He owns Jacksonville.
The same doggone thing. And Jacksonville normally has a nasty run defense. But not against that guy.
The other thing is, too, is
big man.
Ryan Tannehill is kind of providing a spark again.
He's big, too, though.
And the thing is Mariota was mobile, but Tannehill is more willing, it seems like, to run. I do not want to spend a lot of time breaking down the Titans because I think that they're just going to be a very annoying team. I also think what's interesting about the Titans and the reason they can make life really hard for these teams down the stretch is their defense as a whole. Their defense is really, really good. I just want to get an official number on where they are. The Tennessee Titans right now, they're 17th in total yards. Pass, this is not good. They're actually not that great. But their run defense, their run defense is 13th. It's Derrick Henry. I just think what he does to you where he beats you up and then also could be a little spark right now, I think he could be dangerous for
this. And Ryan Tannehill runs the ball a little bit too. And he's a big kid. He looks big in the pocket when he's back there in the pocket.
Ryan Tannehill is going to get paid and it's going to be funny.
Yeah, well, of course, man. He should get paid. He's played well this year. He should get paid.
He should get paid. I just don't want my team being the one to pay him.
Well, Tennessee's going to pay him. They don't have a choice. They got to pay him.
I heard some people saying they might do a franchise tag.
Possibly. Just to see what he has. Why do you have a problem with that?
I don't know.
He's played well.
Imagining Ryan Tannehill with $24 million for one season kind of sounds crazy.
He's not Teddy Bridgewater.
When I got the best running backs, I got Christian McCaffrey making like nine.
Well, that's because running backs aren't respected, as they should be.
Running backs matter.
They do matter. And look at Carolina as a great example of that. Look at Green Bay, a great example of that. You can't put it all on your quarterback's shoulders. Get the ball to the running back. They do matter. Big difference. Look at San Francisco. Look at all those teams that you talked about that could play in the Super Bowl. New England, yesterday, they got their run game going. They know what's happening.
Yeah.
November, December, can you run the football? Can you stop the run? That's going to dictate who's going to win the game.
Yeah, Kevin Curtis gets his 200-yard game in September, not November.
Uh-huh. It's simple.
You win. You start off. You get into the playoffs in fantasy with wide receivers.
That's right.
And you win the championship with running backs.
Run it down their nose. Run it down right down their. Was it right down their throat?
I've never heard run it down.
Run
their
it down
nose.
Their nose. I made that.
Boogers.
I made that up. Run it down their nose.
All right, last Bengal tank. Where are we going?
2 for 2 for Westy.
Damn.
And finally, into the tank, there's one particular coach who's on the hot seat. But Lefko says he might have dug himself out of his own hole. It really irks him to say, but if you're unable to stuff a bunch of food inside your 1990s computer, then I would be glad to Philadelphia. Who am I talking about? I have no idea. This segment has gone off the rails. Bengal tank.
That is Ingber getting really high and mighty after saying Baltimore.
Yeah.
Last week, and then he went with Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate it, though. I didn't even know that filling a computer with things could be turned into a city. That was great. I believe there is a coach that I think some people are going to put on the hot seat, and I'm asking you if you buy that he should stay.
This
that
unnamed
he is the
coach,
long-term answer.
Should I buy that he should stay?
You get three questions. You are buying that this coach, currently beleaguered, currently losers of two straight, should stay. You get three questions.
All right.
Who's there?
Are they in the AFC?
No.
So they're in the NFC. Okay.
You have two questions left.
They've lost two straight.
Correct, sir.
Do they have a good quarterback?
Yes.
A good, do you say top 10? I didn't hear you.
You asked me good quarterback.
Well, that would mean top 10.
I would say when he's playing well, people could say he's top 5.
When he's playing well, okay.
But I would say saying top 10 is typically fair. Where he is. Okay. Sometimes he's not playing at that level. Sometimes he is.
Okay. Do they have they won a Super Bowl in the last 5 years?
Fuck. No.
They haven't.
Oh, that's all your questions. Damn. Oh, I was not expecting that.
Okay.
Who are you going to guess?
I think the obvious answer could have been the Eagles.
All right, so what are you going to buy? You don't know who it is. I like you buying or not based on if you don't know.
But I also think you could have easily said the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
So am I buying what? What's the question? Am I buying?
Are you buying this coach that he should stick around?
No, I'm not. No.
It was Jason Garrett.
Yeah, he's
damn. He's
out of there.
This is Brian Westbrook's best showing of all time.
Hey, man. I focused today. Focused.
As you were watching that game, what did you think about, I guess, the main call that everyone, that I would like to talk about? Which is Jason Garrett kicking the field goal down 7 with 6 minutes left from the 8-yard line.
Yeah. Well, I think at that point, based upon what you've seen your offense
give me your honest truth. Did you go, you should kick this, or no,
so,
you got to
shoot
it? So
here's the scenario. He had 3 timeouts. You're down 7, 6 minutes to go. At some point, you're going to say, I think my defense can get a stop. But the truth is, we really didn't see their defense getting any stops all game long.
No, it was like missed throws by Brady. They were a little bit higher wide, or maybe
that
a
defense
drop
has
by
been
Nick
disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, bad fits in a run game. I'm talking about Sean Lee going inside when he's outside. He should be outside and contain. I just think that
didn't have Van Der Esch. Yeah,
I think the truth is, and quite honestly, I think the best coaching decision, if your defense was able to get a stop, which they weren't, would be to kick it. You have 6 minutes left and three timeouts. That's the right coaching decision. But based upon the way that my defense has played, and quite honestly, based upon the way my offense had played, my ability to get back down there was just not very good, especially throwing the football. Our best receiver ended up the game with zero catches. So I think I probably would have went for it, but I think the right coaching decision probably is to kick the field goal and extend the game a little bit more, make it a longer situation. Because if you don't kick, let's say you don't get it, right? And they go down, they drive the field 82, 92 yards and score, then the game's over. Even a field goal. Even if they drive it 60 yards, the game's over with the field goal.
As somebody that bet the Cowboys plus six.
That's a good bet.
I have never been in a situation where that dream has come true.
Yeah.
I have rooted for a lot of teams down seven to kick the field goal, knowing that it is the worst real football decision that you can make.
Nah.
The worst.
Why?
But they won me the bet.
Why do you say it's the worst, though?
I am going to go light on Jason Garrett, because Jason Garrett, what you did, I believe should go down in the NFL betting Hall of Fame. The down seven plus six bet in which you kick the field goal, that really the only reason you do that is if you bet the game. And I'm not going to sit here and accuse Jason Garrett of betting the Cowboys plus six and taking it. I would never do that. But there is no reason for you to do that.
Why?
Your offense has had zero to little success all game.
Yep.
You have not been in this part of the field all game. Absolutely. Being down a touchdown versus being down a touchdown doesn't fucking matter. You either go for it or you plan earlier in the drive, let's say the first down of that series, and say, instead of thinking that we're going to kick it, let's act like we're going for it on fourth down. Mm-hmm. So instead of running that play on third, we try and get 3 or 4 yards to get ourselves a more possible fourth down. I am not going to go really hard on Jason Garrett that he said after the game that they don't speak to analytic people. The same week that an article came out on The Athletic that the Baltimore Ravens not only craft a game plan and practice situational game flow with their head analytical people, but they will tell him when probabilities during the drive and on the plays. I am not going to focus on the fact that Jason Garrett seems completely ill-prepared for any of these situations. I'm not even going to focus on the fact that in the morning, Ian Rappaport reported that if Jason Garrett is fired, that the New York Giants are a likely landing spot, one that he, quote, approves of, clearly being released by either the Cowboys or Garrett, because the Giants had no comment.
Cowboys.
And I don't know why, thank you, I don't know why the Cowboys would leak that out.
You know why.
And I'm not going to say that Jason Garrett likely should have been fired today after Jerry Jones came out and said, we got outcoached.
He did.
Or the fact that they were ill-prepared on multiple special teams plays. And this has been going on for a decade. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm just going to say, Jason Garrett, thank you. Because I have never seen a coach kick a field goal when I have a team plus six and they're down seven. I've always wanted it to happen. I never knew it would happen. And for that, I say thank you. And I'm not going to talk about all that other stuff.
Don't even mention it.
Not even going to bring it up.
I still think it was the right coaching decision.
So analytically, it's proven that you're very wrong.
Yeah.
Because what's the advantage?
Well, the advantage.
So you go down four. So then you go, okay, so then we still have to stop the Patriots to get the ball back.
Yes.
And now they're going to punt it, likely, and okay, we're going to start within our own 20, where we have to stop the Patriots anyway. So let's say we don't even get it, and now it's on the seven, and they go three and out, which you have to anyway. Now you're likely getting the ball at the 40.
Well, the reason why I would kick is because you extend the likelihood of the game. So
I think you're extending the minimization of the loss. I don't think the game is extended.
Well, it's extended because if let's say you don't get it. Let's just operate on that premise. You don't get the touchdown there on fourth down, right?
Okay, so you're still down seven. They have the ball on the eight.
And they drive 60 yards.
Okay.
Which they have the capability to do. You're playing against the greatest quarterback of all time. Then they get a field goal, right? So now you're down 10.
So what you're doing, though, is you're guarding against the loss. And I think that my issue in the NFL are there are some coaches that are focusing on win probability, and there are some coaches that don't even realize that they're focusing on losing probability. I think there are more coaches out there that are going, how do we not lose instead of how do we win? For example, I'm watching the ESPN pregame show, and they're saying, if the Browns win this game, their chance of making the playoffs is 70%. If they lose, it's 18%. And they're like, don't lose. No shit. If you're lose, like, you are trying to win the game. And if you have a better chance of going for it on fourth, if you get that, your win probability skyrockets.
What was it? Fourth and what? Eight?
Fourth and seven.
Fourth and seven.
But the real thing is that a lot of people
on the
are
first and second down, they should have done different things.
And that's
second
the and indictment
third,
on really. Jason Garrett.
That's the difference. Yes. They should have done different
things. But also
things.
In that situation, look, I don't want to blame it all on Garrett because there was a huge third down conversion on that last drive.
Another call.
Taken away by a phantom tripping penalty.
That's right.
And we could wax poetic about how the referees are wildly inconsistent. At the same point, the Cowboys' best chance to score was there inside the 10. And I don't want to lose track of that because of an injury, of a penalty that would have given the ball on their own 40.
Well, see, here's the other part that you have to look at. And I agree that it was their best chance to score. But Tom Brady and that offense hadn't looked great all year. But, I mean, all game.
Hit him inside their own 5.
Maybe. You get the ball on the 50, 60. Let's say you get the ball on the 50, right? You pin them inside. They don't get the first down. You get the ball on 50. You still have to drive down. You can make that argument. I just think that if they somehow get a PI penalty at the 50, let's say you don't get the touchdown and the Patriots end up getting a PI penalty, a long one, now it makes it a much easier kick for them.
For me,
which makes it a game out of hand.
For me, kicking that field goal is like when defenses play prevent in a 2-minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, we're preventing a touchdown, but you're really just suffering a slow death. And so I think kicking the field goal means you die slower. Whereas if you go for the touchdown, you can flip it around like that. And I think we've entered a world, Westbrook, of football where it's been proven that the more aggressive teams that are actively trying to win, the Baltimores, the Niners, the Saints, the teams that go for it on fourth down, like the Saints in that game where the crazy call happened, the reason the Panthers were in a position to get that pass interference is because Sean Payton went for fourth and one on his own 45.
That's different, though. Fourth and one and fourth and seven are hugely different. They still had an opportunity.
That was also fourth and seven on the 8.
Yeah, but they also had an opportunity where they had the ball because they forced the Patriots to punt.
The reason the Eagles were able to beat the Patriots is they were the team that went for it on those fourth downs. Do you remember on the game-winning drive that Zach Ertz caught, they also had a fourth and seven, I think, at their own 30, and they got it on a slant to Ertz. I remember because I looked around the Patriots fans, and when we got that, I said, you're fucked.
But no.
But you need to go
for those. That wasn't a game that was going to be decided 13-9. This game didn't have a bunch of offense.
Yeah, but to me, it's even more so because if you thought that you were going to put together a 60-yard, 70-yard drive against the Patriots, then you should
and you
be,
hadn't done it all
you,
game.
You
right.
should be fired for that. You should be fired for that. Like, if you thought, you know what, I got faith, then I'm going to tell you that Amari Cooper has 0 catches. Your best offense has been end-arounds to Tony Pollard.
Right.
And that Dak doesn't have it because it's raining and it's windy out. And if you believe that you could do it again, then you should be fired on that alone.
Here's the thought that you just had a 8-play, 78-yard drive, right? We'll pin them. We'll kick the field goal.
And
we'll pin them deep.
40 to
50
of that was Randall Cobb
on the big play, 59
streaking
yards
down the sideline.
Absolutely.
Yes. So it almost was a fumble.
Yeah, almost. So you get the field goal, right? This is a thought. So now it's 13-9. You get the field goal. You pin them deep. You get the ball at the 50. Let's say you get it at the 40. You get another big play. Now you have the chance to go and win the football game. That is playing aggressively.
But my thing is this whole what-if game, because I heard Orlovsky saying this on ESPN this morning too, of if they get it, they stop them, and they go. That's a whole lot of shit that I don't have faith in. I don't have faith in the Cowboys stopping them because they didn't.
That's true.
I didn't have faith in the Cowboys driving. And
well, you're just coming off a long drive, though. So you're coming off a long drive.
You know what's wild is I would have liked it more if Garrett kicked the field goal and then kicked an onside kick. Give yourself a chance to get it back there. If you don't, you got to stop him anyway.
Still,
and you just gave yourself insurance with the field goal.
You're playing for a tie. that way.
No, what?
What are you talking about?
No, because if you kick an onside kick and the Patriots get it, and let's say you stop them because you have to and they kick a field goal, all right, now you're down 7, you get the ball back, which is right. What you were saying.
Then, and so you, let's say so you go down and score, you're playing for the tie. In this way, if you go down and score after having 13-9, you're playing for the win because you still got to score a touchdown. You're playing for a win, not a tie. In their house.
You're playing for a win later. I personally
even
believe
if they
that,
got that touchdown, right? The score is still tied.
Yes.
And they still haven't stopped the Patriots all game.
Yeah, but now, like, if you stop them, you just got to kick a field goal.
If you stop them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to stop them anyway.
You got to get a field goal anyway.
I know. I think that it really, really feels like, I don't know where that fucking Jason Garrett story came out Sunday morning. Like, I don't know how, like.
You know where it came from.
No, but I know that.
It came from Jerry.
But why would Jerry put out that the Giants are interested in Jason Garrett? I don't know who Jason Garrett's agent is.
Jason Garrett.
You think that the Jason Garrett's agent may have.
Who does this.
Who's the benefit?
Who does it benefit?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends.
I don't know.
Because
I know that I was in here yesterday with a Giants fan, and he went, if we sign Jason Garrett, and in my head, I'm like, as an Eagles fan, if Jason Garrett doesn't leave the division and goes to the Giants, let's fucking go.
That's right.
That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. But the writing is on the wall that the only way Jason Garrett keeps his job is if they go to the Super Bowl. And I don't even know, if they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots again, he might still get fired.
No way. If they make it to the Super Bowl, he definitely keeps his job. But based upon that defense that I've seen in the last few weeks, they're not getting to
the Super Bowl. The offensive guy.
Well,
you know, he's the I'm Tomlin. I'm the head coach that I have an offensive background and I sometimes go in that room, but I'm a head coach.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I respect Jason Garrett, but like his quotes after the game about not using analytics was further proof of the one area he's super inept in. I feel like he would have, you know how they say some people are before their prime or before their time and after their time, like you were before your time.
Right.
Like if you came 10 years later, you'd be fucking Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Like Jason Garrett is actually post his time. Jason Garrett would have been a phenomenal coach in the 90s.
He said he doesn't use analytics at all.
He said that during the game, he doesn't have people in his ear being like, hey, if you go for it here, your win probability is 48. Right, but if you kick the field goal, it drops down to 30. They don't do that. Where the best teams in the NFL do.
Yeah. They certainly had a chance to win that game. When you think about Cooper, Gallup, Cobb, Zeke, and Dak, who's playing one of the best seasons he's ever had, you think that you're going to score more than 9 points, period.
Period.
Hell, the Eagles scored 10, and they have none of those weapons.
Yeah.
So you just kind of figure, especially going there against a team that has been really good against the pass but is susceptible to some runs, you think that you got a chance to at least run the ball a little bit better and score more than 9 points.
Here's my other issue, and I'm going to bring this back to the Eagles because that's where we need to finish. I'm very tired of teams playing the Patriots, and the Patriots are the only team that runs trick plays.
Yeah.
You are playing the Patriots. The only way that you have a chance of winning is unleashing the bag and using everything you got. There is no let's save it for week 15. Every win in this league is huge, and the Patriots are the Seahawks used a trick play against the Eagles because Pete Carroll is good in big games. He gets it. Kyle Shanahan has not just one, but 7 trick plays for you. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton has 5 trick plays for you. Sean McVay has about 2. He doesn't have as many as I'd like. It's not really where I'd want it to be right now. But I'm tired of these traditional coaches just saying, we got to do what we got to do to beat them.
You're also a little bit scared.
Matt LaFleur said at halftime in that blowout by the Niners, we're not going to change what we're doing because if we did, we're going to lose by more.
Mm.
If you are not adjusting anything at halftime and you're being a 70-year-old all ball coach down at the local high school saying, we're going to do what we do better than anybody does what they do, then get the hell out of here.
When you play the Patriots, you're scared to do trick plays because if you make one mistake, the game gets out of hand. The Patriots have done this for years. They've capitalized on other teams' mistakes. And so you're scared as a head coach. And I'm not saying that I would be, because just to your point, that made those trick plays maybe the only reason that you got a chance. The reason why the Ravens beat up on the Patriots so much, not because of trick plays, because it was the trickery of Lamar Jackson.
How about the history of the Patriots and the Ravens? The Ravens were always the team doing flea flickers first to the Patriots.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the team bringing out tight ends and playing them at tackle.
Well, the reason, and here's a reason why.
The Eagles beat the Patriots because of the Philly.
The Patriots are so fundamentally sound that when you do trick plays, it breaks all of the rules. They're so sound. Their rules are just, that's how they live. They operate 10 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards. I'm supposed to be outside. I got to secure the outside arm. That all the trick plays break all the rules. That's why they work.
I will never forget, after the Falcons Patriots Super Bowl, I was texting with Sims when they go up 28-3. And I was like, forget the Falcons offense. It's Kyle. He's going to know their rules. How is the Falcons defense doing this to the Patriots? And he said, they're playing a defense they've never played before.
Yep. Unscouted.
My thing is this. If you're going to play Belichick, you need to know yourself. You need to self-scout and know, what are my tendencies, and then how do I not do that against them? Mm-hmm. And I understand that's really tough on 1 week to change everything that you believe in and your DNA. And I get it. They are a 2, if not 3 week preparation team. But like, the teams that face this team in the playoffs, if it is the Ravens and they know that it could be the Patriots and they could start, you know, in the bye week a little bit, or they do have an extra week, if you are facing the Patriots and you don't play an offense and a defense completely unlike that you normally do, and you don't have 2 or 3 plays, that's why I'm excited if it is Saints or Niners in the Super Bowl. Because Sean Payton's going to draw some things up,
yeah,
and Kyle Shanahan's going to draw some things up.
I remember playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and all season long, they've been a 3-4 team. We are practicing, so it's 2 week lead time before the game. We're practicing against a 3-4 all week for the past 2 weeks. We come out the first play, they're playing a 4-3. And we're like, what in the hell just happened? All the stuff that we practice for hours upon hours, 2 hours a day, is out the window because they're playing a totally different defense than we expected.
Exactly.
And it was crazy.
And my thing is, it shouldn't be crazy.
You have to be able to adjust.
Team, but also like that's why I think, you know, Sean McVay watched so many games of game film last year and said he overprepared, because Belichick has to get in your head.
Yes.
That you could be like, he's played this incredible defense all year, but what if he comes out in base 4-6?
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea that he's been slowly, every practice, hey guys, we're going to do 5 minutes on the 4-6.
Yep.
You know, the fact that the story came out, and I really hope that Belichick actually didn't do any of this, but he says it just to fuck with people, that the year before the interception against the Seahawks, that he practiced goal line defense every single day, and at that moment, it just led to that, and he had no idea, but it just, he gets in people's heads. But in my mind, you know, it's like if you're playing poker or you're playing somebody in basketball, you're anticipating the move that they think you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
But with Belichick, it's like, okay, you're going to do that move, I'm going to do this, and you can go like 7 layers deep.
He's already thought it. And what he does
he's good.
The crazy part is that when you talk about halftime and LaFleur not wanting to change anything, Belichick's changing things in between series. At the quarter marks.
Somebody
not just at halftime.
And I don't know who it is, and I apologize, but it was, the scariest thing in sports is seeing Bill Belichick write something down on the sidelines. When he takes that pencil out and makes a note, someone's being eliminated.
Right.
Something is about to be exposed.
Take him away.
You're either going to lose points or they're going to gain points.
Mm-hmm.
But he's nothing like it. But he did get something wrong.
What did he get wrong?
The running back rankings on the NFL top 100 of all time.
Oh, okay.
Did you see this list?
I have not seen the complete list, no.
Now, a lot of people are saying that it's Belichick and it's going to be right and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They did running backs on Friday.
Okay.
And in studio, they had Emmett Smith and Jim Brown.
Okay.
All-time leading rusher.
Okay.
And who many believe is the greatest running back of all time.
Yeah.
Now, these were the names that were put on the list. I believe they're doing like 100 greatest players, and I think they did 12 running backs.
Okay.
Jim Brown, Earl Campbell, Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Gale Sayers, O.J. Simpson, Emmett Smith, Steve Van Buren.
Mm-hmm. Eagles. Okay.
Lenny Moore, Marion Motley, Earl Dutch Clark.
Okay.
The youngest running back in that crew is Emmett Smith.
Right. And he was 15 years ago from today when he retired in Arizona.
No Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
No LaDainian Tomlinson.
Mm-hmm.
No Marshall Faulk.
Yep.
A host of anybody that's played in the last two decades. And Belichick, the one that I think a lot of people have been focusing on, is the guy that played in the 30s, Earl Dutch Clark,
okay,
who Belichick said was one of the great two-way players and most versatile players to ever play the game. And I'm just going to say this. This romanticizing of the two-way player, I get it.
Okay.
When I grew up hearing about Chuck Bednarik and how he was the best D lineman in the game and the best O lineman in the game, I said, wow, what a warrior. If Jerome Bettis played in the 30s, he would be the greatest defensive lineman that's ever lived and the best running back of all time.
Absolutely.
I watched the 8 clips they found of Earl Dutch Clark. And you know when you're watching clips of Jim Brown, you go, it's incredible. He makes everybody else look like a newspaper salesman.
He's huge, right.
Earl Dutch Clark looked like one of those newspaper salesmen. One of his highlights was a drop kick. It was a drop kick.
Wow.
And my thing is, we talk all the time about greatest and best. None of those guys can compete. And this was from Dave Finocchio, former founder of Bleacher Report. We were texting about that this weekend. He said there is definitely a best versus greatest where, you know, has there really been anyone better than Adrian Peterson in terms of best? I don't know, man. He really had everything. But greatest may have been Walter Payton. You know what I mean? And his example in the NBA was that Bill Russell is arguably the greatest,
right.
10 championships, 12 years, all
right.
that. But Michael Jordan might be the best,
mm-hmm.
and he might also be the greatest. That's how good he was. But these names, I don't think you can leave out the last 20 years, man.
How could you? But
and I wanted to hear your perspective that actually played. That's my rant.
No. I think you're right. It's an interesting point about Earl Dutch Clark. His last two seasons, he was a player coach. Can you imagine that? Be like, yeah. We're going to run these plays for me first. And then we'll try to get you involved quarterback a little bit later. But that's pretty cool. Can you fire someone on your own team if you're the player? Oh, we're firing Carson Wentz today.
That would be incredible.
I'm out. But that's pretty cool. But here's my thought about the list. I don't think you put Adrian Peterson on it quite yet because he's not finished playing yet.
Right.
That's why. But Marshall Faulk certainly should be on there. LaDainian certainly should be on there. Those are two no-brainers right off the top of my head. I think both of those guys deserve to be on there right now because Marshall actually changed the game. We talk about Christian McCaffrey right now. We talk about Kamara down there in New Orleans. He changed how people viewed running backs. Back in the day, it was 4-3 and two running back set, and Marshall Faulk, what he did was got displaced, got outside in the slot position, or even out wide,
yep.
and made a linebacker go check him. And he just tore it up. And he opened the gates for guys like me that were able to say, you know what, now we need to get our running back in space with the linebacker.
Sure.
And then what happens with defenses, now they say, we're not going to go base defense anymore. We're not going to play with three linebackers. We're going to play with two and a nickel guy. Mm-hmm. Just because if they displace a running back, we want to have a faster guy out there. And you still see guys like Christian McCaffrey still doing this thing. You saw David Johnson a couple years ago doing this thing. So I certainly think that Marshall should be on there. I think LaDainian and his ability to score touchdowns, just for that alone, was excellent.
What's interesting, everyone focuses on, and this is definitely recency bias, and there's totally ageism, and there's a huge part of me that doesn't care about that old part
of
football.
But yeah.
And I read a book about the history of football and how it started in steel mills, and really it took people like that. But to compare it nowadays is crazy. But it's not just comparing the guy from the 30s to the guy from the 2000s. I don't think Emmett Smith is a top three running back in the last 30 years. If you want me to be real.
Well, Emmett put up a lot of yards.
I would take Marshall Faulk over Emmett.
Okay.
I would take Adrian Peterson over Emmett.
Okay.
I would take LaDainian Tomlinson over Emmett.
Okay.
I would take Thurman Thomas over Emmett. And so, they played in the same decade.
Well,
and I know the guy kept playing.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling a little bit the way I feel about, I know he's better than Frank Gore. Okay. but he was, I don't think Emmitt was he always, was he ever the best running back? And I also had a fight with Emmitt at Super Bowl two years ago.
I hear it coming out in you right now.
And so we've never been cool since, but then we did see each other at Amigos concert.
Emmitt seems to be a good guy, though. I've always liked Emmitt. Always been really, really cool.
Go back and watch the YouTube video. It is on YouTube on the Left Guard Show. We had him at Super Bowl in Minnesota, and he just got yelled at by a group of Eagles fans.
Okay.
And I told him I was one, and he said that we were a bunch of dogs that didn't know how to win.
Okay.
And we went up and back, and he got so heated, and he had his little chest hair out, and he was like insulting me that we don't even know how to win, and even if we win one, it's only one.
Right, right.
But I still, and this is removing all of that bias away. Yeah. Am I wrong to say that he's not even a top three running back in the last 30
years? You're basing it on today's offenses. That's what you're basing it on. Back in the, when Emmitt, and talking about the 90s now, it was hardcore, run the ball down your throat.
If we put Adrian Peterson behind that Dallas offensive line in the 90s, he may have run for 3,000
yards. I agree. But Adrian Peterson,
if we put Barry Sanders,
as soon as he's retired, he's on this list as well. We know that. Barry was a different cat.
If we put LaDainian or Marshall behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
They would have 3,000 yards.
I agree. But here's the thing. Emmitt played through injuries, the longevity that he was able to play with. I mean, those are the special things about Emmitt. And you can't take – I mean, listen, all the carries that he had, all the yards that he racked up, Super Bowls, coming back from being off for a couple weeks because of holdouts and winning Super Bowls, that was impressive. That was made Emmitt great. He certainly should be on this list. I think all of those guys that you're talking about are great running backs. You put great running backs behind great offensive lines, they're going to be special.
The thing that always
happens, doesn't take away what Emmitt was able to do.
Let me explain this. The thing that always happens is you say somebody is like the seventh best running back of all time, and people are like, he hates this guy.
Right.
The true thing is the fact that you're in the conversation means you're one of the greatest to have ever played. I believe that sometimes greatness is situational.
Well, that's true.
You know, like Terry Bradshaw was a great quarterback. He also had almost as many as interceptions as touchdowns.
He was on the steel curtain,
and they won four Super Bowls.
That's right.
You know, like if Phil Simms went to the Niners instead of Joe Montana and they flipped, they might still each win a Super Bowl.
Maybe.
But who the hell knows?
That's right.
And the fact that Brady went to the Patriots, you know what I mean? The fact that Dwayne Haskins has to play on Washington, where if Dwayne Haskins went to New England, he'd have a completely different career. Ooh. I just think that Emmitt Smith went to the perfect situation.
Perfect storm. Yeah, it was a perfect storm from him. And I'm just looking at the list of all the great running backs, and I have so much admiration for these guys. Obviously, O.J., Eric Dickerson, Marshall Faulk, Marcus Allen.
Also, a little funny thing is if you look at the image the NFL put out, boy, they're trying to hide O.J.
Oh, of course they have.
They got O.J.'s like half an eyeball. You're like, Curtis Martin. I see a Buffalo Bills logo. Curtis Martin is the one that I never mentioned.
Fred Taylor.
Well, he's never mentioned.
He should be, because Fred Taylor was a load, big and fast and powerful.
What is your...
Edgerrin James.
What was your look should on Curtis Martin? I think, watching him, because I don't think I ever appreciated him enough.
I think he was special. And I don't have the numbers. I don't know how many yards he rushed for. But
he's up there.
I mean, he had over 12,000 yards, obviously, I think, in his career. But he was special. He carried teams
14,101, fourth all-time at the time. So now I think he's probably down to fifth now that Frank Gore's jumped up.
In my mind, 12,000 is that line that kind of separates you from greatness. 12, 13,000. And it's just not a lot of guys that have had much more than that. But I think that Curtis Martin, Martin was special. He was able to catch the ball out of the backfield. He wasn't a powerful runner, but he can run you over from time to time.
Sure.
He had good speed. I mean, I think he was exactly what will work in today's NFL right now. Mm-hmm. I think Edgerrin James and his productivity was special when he was with the Colts. I mean, there's a bunch of good running backs in the league. You named a bunch of them, but, you know, I certainly believe that when you separate time eras, because there was a time where everyone was the same size, and then you had guys like Jim Brown that was bigger than everybody else.
Sure.
Of course, he had a bunch of yards. But nowadays, the running backs are normally smaller than everyone else. So let's say from the 90s on, should probably have a list. And when you start talking about that list, Adrian Peterson certainly is on that. Obviously, all the guys I just mentioned certainly are on that list as well.
Didn't say Tony Marcus Dorsett. Allen yet.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Marcus Allen.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Terrell Davis. Yeah.
I mean, I think Terrell Davis was a good running back, short career, similar to Gale Sayers, but he had a couple Super Bowls, which made his career impactful. Corey Dillon, not so much. Eddie George, Priest Holmes was really good.
Yeah, now you're down to that.
But. Those are different class of guys. But those other guys, they're special. They're special.
Oh, and again, I think the thing that I also have to remind myself is this is also Bill Belichick. And nobody knows the history of the game more. And
so this was his list?
No, so he was a part of it, and he had to sign off on it.
Nobody gives Thurman Thomas the respect that he
it's, you know.
Because he caught the ball well out of the backfield.
It was everything.
He ran the ball. He did all those things that we're talking about Christian McCaffrey is doing.
Went to four straight Super Bowls.
I mean, he was special.
It's not his fault that they lost. He did have one untimely fumble that was very unfortunate. But if you look at Thurman Thomas, 12,000 rushing yards.
Yep.
He was Falk, LaDainian Edge before everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Shit. Yeah, it is interesting. It was cool to watch the show at the same point. It's just the reason that I care about this stuff is these lists do go on and live in this regard.
Uh-huh.
This list will go online. And what happens is I understand we need to remember people for posterity and for all time. And so it's a lot easier to forget somebody like Dutch.
Yeah.
And people likely haven't talked about him
in years
since the 1930s. Right. And so it's important to keep it going. But when you leave people off lists, in this era of the internet where we don't learn anything, we just Google and read, and we don't want to formulate our own ideas, we just look at other lists. Like, that's kind of what we just did.
That's right.
Like, if there's somebody that's not on this list right now, we won't remember them. The Corey Dillons will get lost.
No, they're lost.
You know what I mean? The Steven Jacksons will get lost.
Here's a question for
you. The Sean Alexanders will get lost.
Would Emmitt Smith have the same type of career if he played on the Lions?
I mean, that's like if there was first things first in the 1990s, that would have been number one take. Absolutely.
Because he wasn't quick and shifty like Barry. He was more of a power runner.
That's why the argument for Barry Sanders is an easy one to make.
Of course.
He had the least amount of talent around him,
and
he still did it.
That's right.
And you get to play, like, the weird thing with Barry, because he retired after 9 seasons, he still has potential.
Yes.
I have a potential theory that you only, when you first step on the field, all you do is lose potential. So when Dwayne Haskins steps on the field, he has unlimited potential. Mm-hmm. He could be a Hall of Famer. As soon as he throws that first pass, it either stays or if it's incomplete, it goes down. And that's why the greatest people are the people that have lost the least amount of potential.
Yeah,
like LeBron James.
Yeah, of course.
Like LeBron James to be in year 17 and to still have potential left is mind-boggling.
That's right.
But there are other people that we know. Like, we know what Jameis is. We know exactly who he is. But with Barry, there's still what-ifs.
Yeah.
It's still, he's like the second leading rusher of all time. And what if he played 6 more years?
Could've
and
played easily
what if he played on a good team?
Easily.
And so those are the guys that are incredible. You know, Frank Gore has squeezed every morsel out of his potential. Like, he has gotten more. Like, you know, when you squeeze a tank, you're like, I didn't think there'd be any water left. Frank Gore is getting every freaking drop.
I love Frank Gore.
And
I've told you this story about him. But
yeah.
I love Frank Gore because I had a knee injury in 96. So I tore my ACL in 96. I had another surgery.
So this is like pre-college.
Yeah, in 99. So I tore my ACL in high school.
Damn.
And I re-tore it.
That's why
you
went
college.
To probably Villanova.
Yeah, that's why I went to Villanova. But Frank tore his twice in college.
Yeah.
Within 18 months of each other. And for his ability to have this type of career, I don't even know how many years, 15 years or so now, whatever it is, a bunch, 15,000 yards. And the way that he runs, he's not a make you miss type of guy. He wants to run you over. He's 5'10", 215, 220 at the most. And it's not all muscle, which is kind of weird. He's not like
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, he's not like Adrian Peterson where you say, oh, wow, he's going to hurt you.
No, but he's a ball.
He's just like a ball of knives that's coming at you.
Whoa.
The high knees.
That sounds scary.
That's how Frank Gore used to run. He's still doing it now.
Ball of knives.
Patient, getting downhill, football. It was aggressive. It was
You
nasty.
Know what knives can do? Gore you.
I know. Oh, I like that. You see it?
Yeah, that's a word that means stab, too.
I like that. I appreciate you bringing
puncture.
That up. Yeah, puncture.
Wow, Frank Gore. Frank Ball of Knives Gore.
Frank Ball of Knives.
Hey, Frank, hopefully you keep playing because that could be your new nickname.
Ball of Knives. It's never going to stick. It's too long.
But it is interesting with Frank that he also now, I see him after games and he's just like, he looks like Danny Glover, like, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always like, hey, you guys talk to each other, I'm leaving.
I love Frank Gore. But he has a love for football that is unmatched. Like, a student of the game, knows every position, does all the things right, works out the next day, wants to play football until he's 100. I love Frank Gore.
I'm trying to see who the comparison is for the NBA in terms of like all-time scoring leaders, of like somebody that's at the top and they just did it longer than everybody else. Like Karl Malone, you know, it's a little bit like Frank Gore.
Well, see, here's the thing. Frank Gore was never a rushing leader. He was just kind of like, hey, the rushing leader had 1,500 yards. He had 1,300. But he's just done it for so long. And it's I can't.
Patrick Ewing.
The average career for running backs is 3 years. How the heck is he still playing? Because he doesn't make people miss a bunch of times. He's running people over. That's what he did. How is he still doing that? That's amazing. I know how I felt after 8 years. After my ninth year, I was like, yeah, this
so
is it.
Me and my friend, this was last week, we were out and we were saying, name your top three favorite Raiders running backs and doing all that stuff. And then we started to get on running backs. And in my favorite running backs, which are not my best, but number three of my favorite, I think I went Barry Sanders, Bo Jackson, Marshawn Lynch.
Really?
And there's something about the I'm going to run through your face that certain guys have and certain guys want to make you miss. Le'Veon Bell is a make you miss.
Yes.
Marshawn Lynch is a run through your face.
He was an
Alvin
attitude.
Kamara is a make you miss.
Alvin Kamara so fast.
Mark Ingram is a, I'm a punch you in the face.
Marshawn Lynch was a tone setter.
Oh.
He set that tone. I mean, you remember the Legion of Boom. We remember all that nasty safeties, physical front. But it was Marshawn Lynch that set the tone for that football team. He was a guy that said, you know what? This is the attitude that I'm going to have. This is the attitude for the offense.
Yeah.
And defense, keep up. And they found an attitude because of him, because of what he was able to do. Mm. Marshawn Lynch was a special running back. And he was big, but he was also fast. He was nasty. And Pete, to me, and I can't remember how many years Pete Carroll coached it before Marshawn got there, but he was the reason why Pete Carroll was very, very successful there in Seattle, in my
opinion.
A big part of it anyway.
Of course.
I'm thinking about my favorite running backs. Marcus Allen used to be one of my favorites.
I'm trying to think if there's any contender this year that has one of those guys. I only think it's the Ravens with Ingram. I don't think any of the Niners running backs are power people.
No.
A lot of that comes from out of that backfield, their fullback. I don't think Aaron Jones or Jonathan Williams
Nick Chubb
is
a little bit maybe.
Yeah, but they're not a real contender in my mind.
They're going to make the playoffs.
The Browns? You want to put a money on it?
Oakland lost. The Browns, they got an easy schedule. I can't bet on Baker. I just can't. It hurts me. I can't do it.
Do you want to bet on a money?
I can't bet on money. What about Ezekiel Elliott? He runs hard. He doesn't look the same this year.
He does, but I don't think the Cowboys are a contender.
Okay.
I don't think the Vikings are a contender, and they're 8-3.
I think they are. Because remember we talked about
what run, bet can we make on the Vikings?
Stopping the run and run deep and being able to run the football.
Do you believe they'll get to the NFC Championship game?
Ah.
Yeah, no.
They got to have to go on the road. No, I don't believe that.
No, you don't believe in them.
I do believe in them. They are scary good on defense, and offensively, they can get it going. Because they have a running attack, and they got two good receivers, and Kirk Cousins is at least willing to throw some interceptions to figure it out.
Never forget that Kirk Cousins is the ultimate litmus test, and if you look at all of the teams they've won, they're all teams that are falling below 500.
I know. That's the problem. That's why I can't say they're going to win it, but I'm just trying to tell you, every now and then, Kirk Cousins gets it going.
Well, we're
going to
see. Minnesota at Seattle this week. Before we go, because we are going to do a pod tomorrow with Warren Sharp, just to kind of talk about the Thursday games and then also a little bit of previewing. The Thursday games, do you want to talk about them at all? I think that there's only one game that matters. I am not excited to watch Bears-Lions. I'm going to watch that because it's football. Saints-Falcons at night. I doubt that the Falcons are going to be able to do anything, but it is in Atlanta.
It's a division game. So, I mean, those division games are tough to call.
But Bills-Cowboys at 4:30. If the Cowboys lose,
they go to
6-6.
Interesting game for us.
It is in Dallas. I feel very confident that the Cowboys are going to win that game.
I think they're going to win.
I think the Bills win back-to-back games. The Bills have completely turned around their style of offense.
Yes.
Their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, is now calling plays from the booth. This past week, they ran 70 plays, which I think was the most since in 5 years. We talked about on the betting show. Their pace has completely changed, but they are going into a Dallas stadium with them on a two-game losing streak, the Bills now surviving two wins where they let Miami hang around and Denver couldn't do anything and they were still kind of in the game.
Yeah.
It just looks like a really rough game. I would bet on a bounce back from the Cowboys.
That
in
defense
Dallas.
For the Cowboys is embarrassing. I thought they were going to be good.
I don't think the Bills' offense is anything to write home.
No, but they run the ball well. They run it consistently.
I don't think they do.
You don't think they do?
Not really. Yeah. I think the Bills are the Bills, as I've said, will be the fifth seed in the playoff that loses in the first round.
I can see that. They don't have a bunch offensively, and Kyle Allen has been good. But I mean, Josh Allen, yeah. he's been good. But there's been times where if he doesn't run,
he's good.
Then that offense yeah. is not effective.
I think that's a really rough matchup.
Yeah, tough matchup.
But I'll be all right. So we didn't talk about the Eagles. I forgot we have to do that.
Do we? Can we just skip over them for a week? They deserve to be skipped over.
Man. I'm going
to
ask you, as a Hall of Famer in the Philadelphia Eagles organization.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to root for the Eagles to lose one of these next three games against Miami, Giants, and Washington just so that I don't get my hopes up that they move to 8-6 and then face the Cowboys only to be disappointed? Or do I have to be down for this the entire time?
You have to ride with your team. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Why would you say something like that? You got to ride with your team.
This team.
If you're
all they're gonna do.
You're a
is
fan, right?
Me.
Are you a fan? Then what do you mean? Can I be down for them
yeah,
to lose?
Yeah, but I'm also. It's like I'm in a troubled relationship.
You don't want to, yeah.
And I don't want to walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
Because if I commit and they don't show, and I knew it was gonna be problematic.
Listen, commit. You gotta commit to it.
But I really don't want to, man.
And here's why you have to commit, because.
The defense is playing at a Super
Bowl
level
right
now.
They're not playing a Super Bowl level, but they're playing much better.
Yeah, let's talk about the fact that Russell Wilson overthrew Jacob Hollister and DK Metcalf dropped the ball.
14 points. But sometimes you get hit a couple times. That may be a factor there. DK Metcalf has been inconsistent, but he catches a lot of balls. He caught a lot of balls.
All they did was go, "Where's Jalen Mills? Great, let's throw at him.
Throw at him at your starting
dude.
You're the guy that you
and the
your
dude
premier
that's got
corner.
The most yeah. confidence on the team.
That's right. Finger wagging when they drop the ball. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with all of that. I just want the Eagles to be – I want Carson Wentz to be better.
Look, there's really going to be a situation, I'm foreseeing it now, where the Eagles, they're going to face the Dolphins, and it's going to be a lot uglier. And God forbid this team goes out in South Beach on Sunday night.
No, they're not.
And they start
out.
Off really slow.
No.
But I think that they don't beat the Dolphins, they survive. Write all this down. Then they're going to go and face the Giants at home, another close game where they're going to survive. It is going to be ugly.
Daniel Jones,
then
two interceptions.
Then they're going to go to Washington. It's going to be like Lane Johnson comes back. They've had Jordan Howard and Alshon back for a week, and they win that game. It's a little bit close, but they win it by double digits with like a late turnover.
They'll beat the Redskins.
And then they're going to be sitting there at 8-6,
mm-hmm.
facing Dallas at home. And I'm going to get my hopes up.
You should. Because you're a fan.
And they're going to lose.
I don't like the matchup between the Eagles and the Cowboys.
And it's like I'm trying to save I'm trying to save December Adam. Like November Adam is trying to save December Adam from
mm-hmm.
pain.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be heartbroken. You're protecting your heart.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And I appreciate that about you.
But
protecting
your
heart.
But that's why I don't want to enjoy the Dolphins wins and the Giants wins and the Washington wins.
Protecting your heart is like you see a beautiful woman and you're like, nah, I don't want to date her because she may hurt my feelings. That's not the way to go into life. That's not the way to date. You see the beautiful woman, you go after her. You don't protect your heart. You go in there with your heart wide open, and you say, if you're going to hurt me, I would rather be hurt by something I love, the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't want to be hurt by an ugly chick. I want to be hurt by the best chick. That's the Eagles right now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I just want to stay home and watch Netflix and chill. I'm not even trying to talk to anybody else. I'm just saying, hey, is it cool like if I don't go out tonight?
Yeah.
And like I know that it's going to be really fun. Like, you know what's really funny about the Eagles schedule? The Eagles schedule is like going out on a Friday night when you're not sure. After
that's the worst.
You take that first shot, yeah. The Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Hey, man.
So
it could actually be a good night. Uh-huh. Oh, look who's walking in. Hey, how you doing? Trying to be like you.
Uh-huh.
Second shot. Oh, New York Giants.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, they play my song. What's good? We're feeling all right. Now we're sitting here, and we're 7-6. We got a winning record. Here we go.
Yeah.
And then Washington comes up. Oh, my God. She walks in,
boom.
And it is in slow motion.
She likes you.
And she's got the dress, and she's looking nice.
No,
and I say, what do you like to drink? And she says, whatever you're having.
Boom.
And then Big D comes to town. and all that joy that you've built up.
You know
she turns around and she goes, that's my boyfriend.
That's him. After you gave her the drink, that's him.
And then you look at your friends and go,
oh my God.
Do you know how many episodes of Rick and Morty I could have watched?
And she probably doesn't even drink. She gives him the drink.
You're right.
Oh my God. I would smack that drink out of both of their hands.
There's nothing more troubling than a big D coming to town.
Oh my goodness. I'm out. You're right.
But that's how I look at the next 3 weeks of the Eagles.
You're right, bro.
It's going to start popping. It's going to be 8-6. We're going to be sitting over here talking about X's and Y's and Z's and the playoff picture. And if we're able to play Minnesota the first round, we could really shock the world. And, like, it could be great. And then Zeke is going to come in there with his nose ring.
Uh-huh.
And Dak's going to come in there flipping his hips.
Yeah.
And the worst part is I feel like we're going to lose because of Sean Lee. You know what I mean?
Sean Lee.
Yeah, like the little dude that nobody invited.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Ah, shit.
What are you doing here?
Hey.
Pain in the butt.
She's pretty. You going to buy me a drink? Sean, get the hell out of here.
You're ruining it for everybody.
You're ruining it.
We had a good thing going before you got here.
Damn.
So Check this out,
that's
man.
How I see the Eagles season.
Look at this guy. This guy, I did an appearance, and this guy.
He gives you. So you just handed me.
He went to school with my dad.
A laminated sheet, the 1971 Dutchman.
Yes.
And you were at a signing?
I had to do my radio show in Lawrenceville, New Jersey.
Okay.
Guy walks up to me and said, listen, I went to school with your dad. This is him. And I didn't even know this until
So it says
Friday.
Concordia Sports, published October 13th, 1971, led by co-captain Gary Morris, Union freshman halfback Ron Westbrook, who I'm not going to lie, is he wearing 36?
He's wearing 36.
And he's running at an angle that I've seen
you run
before.
I didn't even know that he wore the number 36.
Sweeps the right side, 12th victory in a row over the last two seasons. And over here, kind of looks like your brother a little bit.
He does. Nice little bush going on there. You know, old school, you had to have the bush.
And you've never seen this before?
I've never seen any of these pictures. Yeah, this guy gave it to me. He's like, yeah, I played with your dad. He was awesome. And here's the thing. When you talk to your dad about sports.
Oh, my God. And listen to this sentence. This is in 1971. Westbrook's speed is complemented by his pass-catching ability in that Mitchell has made him a prime target.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sounds like another person I've
I'm
heard.
Trying to tell you, when you talk to your father, he's always like, oh, I was this and that and that and this, and you're like, yeah, okay, old man. And then when I see this guy, Gary Morris, he's like, no, your dad was that guy. He was a guy that we all wanted to be like. He was a guy that we looked up to.
And you never knew.
Well, I kind of knew, but your dad tells you all types of Al Bundy stories.
Yes.
You never really know the
truth.
Back in my day,
five you know what? That's actually, maybe we should give more respect to Dutch Clark in the 1930s.
Give Dutch a little
playing
respect.
Up against newspaper boys and steel mill workers.
They had to come from work to go to the game.
Yeah.
And then go back to the work after the game.
That's Dutch Clark, the greatest running back that's ever played. Really, Ma? Can he sign my one banana?
Uh-huh.
That's incredible. Now, that banana cost you 13 cents.
That's right. And he also brings and delivers our milk on Sunday.
He does.
That's right.
I love when he brings all the jugs. I would love to, Ingber, I think next week we should just do like a series called The Life of Dutch Clark. And it's just this running back that none of us have ever seen and what his side jobs were.
Right.
Yeah.
Mechanic.
Oh, man, my tire's got a flat. Oh, my God, are you Dutch Clark? Yes, I am,
yes,
man.
I am,
and I'm the meanest tire changer this side of the Mississippi.
And best running back in the NFL, ma'am.
Seriously.
It'd be perfect.
Dutch, can I ask you a question? What's it like to score a pigskin? Okay, we've had enough. Thanksgiving is on Thursday.
Yes.
You are the weirdest eater I've met in a long time.
We're on diets, too.
We are. We're in portion control. But I'm going to name a food or a side, and I want you to tell me if you like it.
Okay, go.
Do you like turkey?
Yeah, I love turkey.
Okay.
Love turkey. I like my turkey fried, though. Fried turkey. I don't like the dry, old school turkey. I want fried turkey. This year, actually, my wife is making jerk turkey.
What?
Which... I'm sure it would be delicious, honey. I'm sure it will be. Just out of the norm is all I say about that.
Does Brian Westbrook like stuffing?
I do love stuffing.
Wow.
I like stuffing with a little gravy on it. Yes, I do like stuffing. Yes. You have to have stuffing on Thanksgiving.
Do you like cranberry sauce.
If you have cranberry sauce at your table, then you're a bad person. Wow. You're just a bad individual, and you should not have guests. They should just eliminate themselves from your presence, because if you have cranberry that you are trying to get out of the
can.
What if
it's organic, authentic?
No.
They make it themselves.
What is cranberry? Is it a dessert? What is it? Where do you eat that?
I believe if I was going to come at you with real restaurant palate stuff, everything on your food, your plate is very savory and salty.
No.
You are not someone that mixes foods, but mixing the sweetness and tartness of a cranberry with the saltiness of, let's say, a mashed potato.
No.
Okay. What about mashed potatoes?
Love mashed potatoes. Love them. Cranberries, that's a bad idea.
Do you serve mac and cheese at your Thanksgiving?
I despise mac and cheese. Like, my wife always, this is a point of contention in my home, that she wants to have mac and cheese there. And I'm like, no, we're not having mac and cheese. We're just not doing it. Do you eat mac and cheese?
Process what you
noodles say. And cheese. That's what mac and cheese is. Noodles and cheese. And you think that's special? Really?
Can I tell you that the entire country of Italy has made a community based off of cheese and noodle?
Bad.
There is no food that I believe is more universally celebrated than the combination of mac and cheese, other than maybe chocolate and peanut butter.
First of all, the most celebrated.
I will say this. What's very funny is through asking the office last year, we were doing this with football players too. Mac and cheese is not often served at white Thanksgivings.
Really?
Typically, that is more of a mashed potato. And what we noticed from interviewing, and this is obviously like a sample size of 50 people that I talked to, mac and cheese is...
It's a black thing.
And
absolutely.
And mashed potatoes is more of a white thing.
Really?
That's what
I like a good mashed potato. Do you guys have coleslaw?
I don't think that we have coleslaw, but I would...
Because you speak for all white people.
That's my job.
Yeah.
I don't. There might be coleslaw. I know that my aunt will make an Asian coleslaw. There's a slaw of some sort. I eat everything. I'm not a good person to say. What about cornbread? Do you like cornbread?
What? Every black person likes cornbread. Everyone.
The correct answer was ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little cornbread. Yeah. Go ahead.
What about sweet potato casserole or pumpkin pie?
So I'm out on the casserole. I love sweet potatoes. Like, you cut them up, you dice them up or whatever, and you put a little...
But you don't like when it's whipped with marshmallows?
No. Marshmallows are no good. No good.
You don't like marshmallow at all?
No, I don't like marshmallows at all. But I don't want to mix the savoriness of a sweet potato with the marshmallow. They don't go together.
Would you eat a s'more?
I have. I'm not in love with them.
What aspect of it did you not like?
I don't like marshmallows.
Why?
Because they're just empty. It's like you bite into them and they're just... Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so...
Nobody likes marshmallows. No, and you definitely don't want marshmallows and sweet potatoes. No good. Sweet potato casserole, nah. I'm out on that.
All right, so if we started off the morning with an omelet, and then at lunch, we had some mac and cheese.
Starving.
And then at night...
I'm starving.
We had a s'more.
Starving.
You would not eat any of it.
I would eat none of that. Zero. I hate omelets.
I don't know if mac and cheese is worse than your peanut butter and chocolate take.
I want to like omelets, because you could put all different types of stuff in omelets. So I want to like an omelet. I hate it. I hate eggs, though.
Not even a Kraft mac and cheese?
No. I don't like the smell of cheese.
What if I took you to Mamafuku Nishi and they had a pepea dish with noodle and some butter and some cheese? Yeah. Would you?
No. No matter what you do with noodles and
cheese. What do you order
cheese?
At an Italian restaurant?
Spaghetti.
And? Bolognese?
No.
Meat sauce? What?
Meat sauce. That meat sauce with little sauces in there. Yeah, I like
not
that.
Not bologna.
No, I didn't say bologna.
But sauce?
Yeah, meat sauce. Like meatballs with the sauce. Yeah, nice, of course. What everybody
but
else
you would
gets.
Never get a fettuccine Alfredo.
No, too cheesy. I don't like the creamy sauce. I like the white wine sauce, though.
So
white wine sauce
scampi.
Is good. Scampi's good.
Little oyster.
I like the little,
would you eat
I like
oyster?
The seafood. I would, but it's not my favorite, but I'll eat that. I'll eat it. I've had... picked up my daughter.
Did you eat a crab dip?
No. Too cheesy. Way too cheesy. With the little spinach? No.
Artichoke?
No. Dip? No. No. Artichoke.
What about if they have a nice soft pretzel with a cheese dip?
I like pretzels, not cheese. No. But I'll tell you this. I like nachos with cheese.
What?
It's crazy. I like nachos and cheese. And I love pizza, too, so. like every other human being does.
You don't like the gloopy cheeses.
No.
You like the stringy cheeses.
I like mozzarella cheese, but I won't eat it cold. Don't eat it cold. Whatever, was it cheddar cheese?
You don't like any cheese. So your worst evening out would be fondue.
Oh, no. I wouldn't. I never would eat fondue.
So you don't like soupy. Okay. No. I want to make a bet with you that at the end of the year, the loser has to get dunk tanked into a vat of nacho cheese.
Really? That's where your mind goes.
Yeah, because it sounds like you would really hate it.
I would be upset for a lot of different reasons. Yes. And I'm upset, optionally. I'm disturbed that your mind is even thinking of it.
Optionally.
Optionally.
Well, yeah. No, because I think it's very interesting. Like, texture is a thing. Yours is up there, bro.
Hey, so what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you cooking or no?
No, I have some aunts that are really good cooks.
So you're not going to contribute anything to the meal?
I'm gonna bring down like a New York pastry.
What?
Or a cake. I think when you live in New York, you can just kind of walk in any place just and you're like, oh, is that in New York yet? You're like, yep, right, Manhattan. So the they're like, ooh, things just taste better when they're from the city.
Yeah.
So I'll bring one down.
We're getting someone catered. We're getting our dinner catered.
Nice.
Which, this is the first time my mother was upset. My wife thought of it. So there's a little bit of, I don't know, there was friction, but there was a little bit of like, what? She's going to get dinner catered? I'm like, yeah, we're going to get it catered.
And you know how you sell it, and then we got to go because we're taking way too long talking about this. You say that your wife, and I'm giving you marriage advice.
I appreciate that.
You tell your mom that your wife wanted to do that so she could talk to her more.
I said, don't you want to spend more time with us? She's like, yeah, I want to spend time with you guys, but I want to be able to cook. They want to cook. Black mothers want to be able to cook.
I know.
And they want you to sit there and eat all day. All day.
Sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing. I'm excited. Right. How many more days before Thanksgiving?
And that was food talk. For Westbrook.
The Rocket Man.
I am the LEFKOE. Man, we wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. You especially, Brian.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate
Enjoy
that.
It.
You too, man.
We're going to have Warren in tomorrow via, apparently he could talk again. So we're going to do it.
You lost his voice?
He apparently got that sick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yelling at the TV, man.
See you, brother. See you, guys. See you soon. Bye.